ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम। See, we can go on and on and on and on these verses. There's a way, different ways of interpreting it, but all having Shankara's Bhashyam as the basis, how Adishankara Bhagavatpada commented upon these verses. Having that in mind, you can go on and on. Too many examples can be given, too many things can be told, because most of you are already exposed to the teaching. It need not take much time, that I want to quickly finish it. That's why it didn't take very long. Because people are studying Upanishad, Chandogya, Mandukya, and finished, Taittiriya Manam finished. And again, this will not take very long. You understand already, you know, Karnakarya Prakriya, Srishti Prakriya, Tatastha Lakshanam, Swarupa Lakshanam, everything you know. So these words should not take very long for you to understand. In fact, without bringing the individual analysis, you're just taking only Ishvara, you can talk here. But I, all the time, I bring in individual also, because that is where you recognize the truth, isn't it? So unless we understand Bhagavan is the truth and the truth is the pure knowledge, you cannot understand that what existence is, isn't it? See, it must be very clear right now. You see here itself. Don't need to do any big practice. But you may not remember this fact all the time. That's why you may become victims of the problems. But this fact, you can't miss the vision. Right now you have to see. You can see the ocean enjoys its existence in the water, if I say. But water does not enjoy existence in the ocean. Which enjoys existence in water? Definitely, ocean alone enjoys existence in the water. Which means the existence enjoyed by the ocean belongs to water. So water is the very existence. That is why we have to say water is not in the ocean, but ocean is in the water. Similarly, here this elements, subtle, gross and elementals, all the forms, names and functions, the laws, the experiences. So subtle and gross phenomena, everything enjoys its existence in awareness, in knowledge. So inert material world enjoys its existence in the reality in the form of pure knowledge. So knowledge does not enjoy its existence in the world. The world enjoys its existence in knowledge. Which means the existence enjoyed by the world belongs to the reality in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Therefore, we have to say definitely the reality is not in the world is in the knowledge. The world is in reality in the form of knowledge. Knowledge is not in the world. The world is in knowledge. So the knowledge by itself is Swarupam of the Lord, the whole. And the whole world which shines in that Swarupam is also the Lord. Then we call it Apara Prakriti. So the world which shines in the truth, the knowledge, is the Apara Prakriti, which is Ishvara. And the pure knowledge in which the world shines is Para Prakriti, which is Ishvara. And this Para and Apara Prakritis are inseparable. Like the illumining light and the illumined opaque. These two together, when you look at the two together inseparably, is Ishvara. And here all the words, all the pronouns, all the meaning of the words, all their functions, everything resolve in this one truth. Words resolve in knowledge, the meanings of the words resolve in knowledge, and the functions associated with the meanings will also resolve. So everything enjoys its existence in reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. When you say all the words resolve, what is I? Word is an expression of knowledge, manifest knowledge. Therefore, the word resolves in manifest knowledge resolves in the pure knowledge. Ultimately, everything resolves in knowledge. If this vision is very clear, what else the mind needs to know? You can know anything else, that's a different thing. Swamiji used to say that will be an extra embellishment. After knowing the truth of the whole, after knowing the knowledge of the knowledge, after understanding what is the knowledge of the knowledge, the knower of the knowledge, the reality which is of the nature of knowing, thereby implied by the word pure knowledge, in which, from which the knowledge obtaining of thought rises and resolves. Knowledge of the knowledge. Is a source of knowledge, isn't it? When you discover the source of knowledge, and anything else you know is only within, that is going to be knowledge of things within the realm of ignorance only. That is matter. Ignorance means, I mean matter. And that will be an embellishment, that's all. It cannot improve this knowledge. That's why it's called absolute knowledge. Why? Because knowledge of the absolute is the absolute knowledge. Paravidya. A knowledge of anything other than this truth is only what? Relative reality. So relative knowledge. So not knowledge of anything within the realm of the matter, within the realm of ignorance, the realm of matter. Only relative. It's not absolute. And it is this knowledge which alone liberates. See, the knowledge which helps the discoverer resolve. The knower resolve. See, the knower has to be resolved. Repeatedly, it has to become very clear. Who is the knower here? The known is ignorance. The known is matter. Anything which comes under the category of the known is of the nature of inertness. It is matter. You can say it is ignorance. Ignorance means what? Anything which is of the nature of inertness is ignorance only. So the knower is knowledge. And that knowledge you arrive at through the knower, and that is the truth of the whole. And when you look at it as a truth of the whole, it is given the status of being the Ishvara, the Lord. Then you leave the individual and you can look at the knowledge itself as the truth. I is already resolved. Now you look at it is this knowledge. It is this pure knowledge, pure consciousness, in which the inert material jagat enjoys its existence. Exactly like how the world of opaque things enjoys its existence in the presence of the light. Definitely, light does not enjoy its existence in the opaque world of objects. The opaque world of objects enjoys existence in the light. Similarly, it is the inert material world of objects enjoys existence in the reality abstract which you, which is pure knowledge. And it is what you understand, mind understands. And where can the mind go from here? After having arrived at this fact, having understood this fact, what else, how far can the mind go? Where can it go? The knower is resolved in its Swarupa means, the knower itself is resolved. The no more knower. Therefore, the further journey cannot happen. Further knowing is not possible. So continue to be in a vision as long as Paradha is there. Is Jnanottara Bhakti. Jnanameva Bhakti. Jnanottara Bhakti will continue to be in the same vision, because then you cannot lose sight of the vision. That is why we say Anuttamam Gatim Mam Asthitaha Bhavati. Mam Anuttamam Gatim. So that here Bhagavan says, I am means Bhagavan is the truth. Having discovered this truth, the Bhagavan, and that's all. The knower resolves, the mind resolves cognitively, which means no more search is possible on the part of the mind. Anuttamam gatim mam eti. It's a very comprehensive, beautiful small chapter. A lot of things are discussed. Bahunam janmanamante,
bahunam janmanamante, jnanavan mam prapadyate, jnanavan mam prapadyate, bahunam janmanamante, bahunam janmanamante, jnanavan mam prapadyate. Vasudevasarvamiti
Vasudevasarvamiti
Samahatma Sudurlabha
Samahatma Sudurlabha
Vasudevasarvamiti
Vasudevasarvamiti
Samahatma Sudurlabha
Samahatma Sudurlabha.
So, Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate. The wise person alone attains me. Who reaches me, who attains me? Bhagavan says, Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate. Which means, not the one who worships, not the one who prays, praying to, the one who knows me alone has really reached me. So knowing the Lord is attaining the Lord. There's no way of attaining the Lord other than knowing the Lord. So understanding who Bhagavan is, understanding Bhagavan Swarupam as one's own Swarupam is attaining the knowledge of the Lord. Attainment of knowledge of the Lord is attaining Bhagavan. So Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate. The wise person alone reaches me. The Jnani reaches me. But how? Whoever wants to know the truth, nobody attains me overnight in terms of knowledge. Isn't it? Even though never a time Bhagavan as the truth is away from any of the beings here, still for the being, for the mind to discover its own Swarupam, this mind needs to become very subtle. It has to be prepared. It has to have such disposition, required for the rising of knowledge. Which means the mind has to become really mature, subtle, and it takes very long for the mind to become refined and refined and refined and refined and refined. One day refined enough to, for knowledge to rise, takes time. So every janma, every time you are born, no life is really wasted, okay? Whether you attain jnanam in this janma or not, when you started studying Bhagavad Gita, means still it is a useful thing. It is not a waste of time. Whether we attain jnanam in this janma or not, definitely you already started. Whether we are adequately refined or not, that's why bahunam janmanam ante, many times being born again and again and again, having gone through such experiences, having earned enough punyam, isn't it? And then every janma, there's a growth, supposed to grow, okay? You may waste this time also without growing. There is certain refinement comes. Every time we are born, certain degree of refinement comes. You are not adequately refined. Again refinement comes. Again refinement comes. Samskara. So manaha samskritam bhavati. Every time you are born, the mind, in every life, going through pairs of opposites, living one's lives, isn't it? Then mind becomes refined. More and more and more and more refined. That's why when Mahatmas are born, we say they're evolved personalities, elevated souls. People talk about elevated and all that. What is the difference? Some people are born, we say they're Mahatmas, evolved people, elevated, they say. It means highly refined personalities. So, bahunam janmanam ante, becoming refined and refined and refined every janma. I mean, when you become adequately refined, and because the punyam, the shastra jnanam also works effective, then that is where you have the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of Bhagavan being the truth. There is no Bhagavan, God, Ishvara other than the truth. And the truth is only in the form of pure knowledge. And you have to understand what pure knowledge is only through its manifestation. If what there is manifestation of knowledge, what is manifestation of knowledge, how manifestation of knowledge is, how there is a manifest knowledge expressed is the word, and the word indicated, what is indicated by the word is only the form. You have to literally see, it's very subtle, different. Really understand, there cannot be, it is the jnanam, the source of manifestation is, the reality is pure knowledge. And the source of word is pure knowledge. And all the source of the forms is knowledge. The source of functions is knowledge. The source of everything is ultimately pure knowledge. It must really become very clear. Don't worry about the phone, okay? And that has to become very clear. And when this vision, Bahunam Janmanam Ante, so living many lives, in every life, living a clean life or karma yoga life or being worshipful, being prayerful or doing something properly, even doing one's own duties properly, etc., one becomes more and more and more refined in one's life. Life after life after life, supposed to become more and more and more refined. Somebody came and asked me, is it possible for me to again to become an animal or something? I said, don't worry about it. What you were before, you don't need to know. But definitely you must have said some samskara, even to come to the Gita class, to be inclined for Gita class, even attend the mediocre class also. Imagine. Even attend the classes, Bhagavad Gita class, at least I want to study Bhagavad Gita, I want to understand what Bhagavad Gita is all about. The inclination for Gita also, everybody may not have. That itself is expression of some refinement. Satyam. I'm not telling anything. Satyam. Whether you study with me or not, we see people are interested in studying Bhagavad Gita, attending Gita classes, appropriate classes, going for this class, going for this class, going for some classes are happening. Interest in anything, one cannot pick up overnight. It is Janmantra Samskara. Because of the Samskara, because Samskara means the subtle impressions which you have picked up from because involvement in your previous lives alone brings you here. Really, promise. As Matthew would not have come all the way from Cambridge. It is Samskara. It's called refinement. Isn't it? So which means anything and everything, you always pick up the thread from where you left. That's why mental refinement, the mind becomes subtler and subtler and subtler, more and more refined. Then what is a civilized person? What is civilized? Cultured person. He is very uncultured. We talk about this. What is this? Appearance, we all look the same, all the human beings. But now, emotionally, the mentally, how refined the person is. So that refinement is taken care of in every janma. So bahunam and janmanam ante, by living a clean, righteous life of karma yoga, worshipful, prayerful life, and doing one's duties properly, etc., this person might have been ignorant, but in due course of time, he has having become more and more and more refined, ultimately have become adequately qualified for this jnanam. This person attains the jnanam, then he is the jnanavan. Such a person alone really has attained me. Without attaining the knowledge of who Bhagavan is, physically attaining Bhagavan is not possible. There is no such a thing called attainment of Bhagavan physically. Attainment of Bhagavan is always through knowledge. Even I explained why Bhagavan is called Govindaha. Bhaja Govindam, Shankar Bhagavatpada has taken that word, particularly the word Govinda, because Go means knowledge. Vindate, one who has to be attained through knowledge. Bhagavan has to be attained only through knowledge. Can be attained only through knowledge. Therefore here, Jnanavan Jan Bahunam Janmanam Ante Mam Jnanavan Prapadyade. At the end of many janmas, having become refined adequately, this person attains me through knowledge. Then what would be his vision? Sarvam Vasudevaha. All that is here is Vasudevaha. In fact, the word Vasu means wealth. Vasu means wealth. Lakshmi is also called Vasu. And Vasumati also means called Lakshmi. Vasumati means she who is wealthy. Vasumati. Vasu means wealth. So Lakshmi is called Vasu. Vasumati is also called Lakshmi. And the whole Jagat is called what? Vasudha. Vasudha means the possessor of wealth. Vasudha means bestower of wealth. Vasum dadati isi vasudha. Vasum dadati isi vasudha. Vasudha, vasudha. Bestower of wealth, possessor of wealth. And vasu means wealth. Vasu. So the whole Jagat is vasu. And devaha, he who shines. The one who is shining in the form of whole vasu. Jagat is called Vasudevaha. Whole Jagat is vasu means the one who is shining in the form of the whole vasu. Whole Jagat is what? Lakshmi in the form of the world is Vasudevaha. So, Rupam Lakshmi, Swarupam Vishnu. One who is shining in the form of the whole Jagat is Vasudevaha. And all that is there is only Bhagavan Vasudevaha. The word Devaha is a very beautiful word because knowledge which shines is said to be of the nature of effulgence. Is Vasudevaha. Sarvam Vasudevaha. What is mic? Vasudevaha. What is carpet? Vasudevaha. What is window? Vasudevaha. What is wall? Vasudevaha. What is man? Vasudevaha. What is woman? Vasudevaha. What is body? Vasudevaha. What is pain? Vasudevaha. What is pleasure? Vasudevaha. What is sleep? Vasudevaha. What is hunger? Vasudevaha. What is thirst? Vasudevaha. What is pain? Vasudevaha. What is jealousy? Vasudevaha. Hate. Vasudevaha. 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 All that is here is only Vasudevaha. Sarvam Vasudevaha. One who sees. Which means one who does not see the world. One does not see the self, one does not see the I or the world, one who sees only Vasudevaha. The truth which is shining as the world, which alone is in the form of the Jagat, isn't it? Such a person, Sarvam Vasudevaha iti, one who sees, and he is a Jnanavan. Who has attained me means what? Who sees me as a self? Such a person, Saha Mahatma Durlabaha. Very difficult, you know. Such a person of vision is very rare. Mahatma means Mahan Atma. The great minded. Mahan Atma is called Mahatma. Okay, Mahan Atma Yasya. Mahan Atma Yasya Saha Mahatma. The one who has the great mind. Which mind is great mind? Every mind is great mind only. But the mind with the vision is a great mind. And with the mind, vision of what? The mind which has the vision of the greatest truth is the great mind. The mind which is endowed with the vision of the greatest truth is great mind. The person who is endowed with the great mind, the great minded, is Mahatma. Is it clear? And the Mahatma Sudurlabha. It is very rare. Such a Mahatma, the great minded, the person of the vision of the greatest reality. Who sees only Vasudevaha. Who does not see Jagat. Who sees only Bhagavan. Who sees only the truth. Which means there is no, he lives in the world as an individual, but he has cognitively resolved his individuality in totality. He resolved all the divisions and differences cognitively. In spite of seeing the duality and diversity, he has the vision of non-duality. He sees the unity in diversity. He sees only Vasudevaha. And such a person, is a Mahatma, Saha Sudurlabaha. Very difficult to see such a person. Samahatma Sudurlabaha.
Bahunam Janmanam Ante. Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate. Vasudevas Sarvamiti.
Vasudevas Sarvamiti.
Samahatma Sudurlabha.
Samahatma Sudurlabha.
Okay. Now he is talking about other simple people. If the Purushartha Nischeha is not there, if the goal is not Bhagavan, the goal is not Jnanam or Mokshaha, the definitely goal will be Artha Kamas, then still one can worship the Lord, pray to the Lord for the accomplishment of Artha Kamas, for enjoying better comforts in this life itself. And such people are not wrong, bad people, but they are still indiscriminate people. See, being indiscriminate is not being wrong. It's not bad, being a bad person. They do not know. When a child does something wrong, because of ignorance, aviveka, we never look down upon the child. What do we say? We accept, accommodate the child's behavior. Why? Because child is innocent, naive, ignorant. The child does not know anything. They say, this is how Shastram also looks at the people who do not have Purushartha Nischaya, who are not interested in Jnanam, who are simple people and who still worship and pray to the Lord for Artha Kamas, and for the sake of accomplishing what they want to accomplish, they also invoke the grace of different deities for specific accomplishing specific ends. They invoke their specific deities. And is it wrong? And even then, whichever deity they worship, for whatever purpose they worship, and whatever they get as a result of that worship also is Bhagavan. Even then, Bhagavan is the bestower of all their ends also. Well, it's said here, Kamais tais tair hrita jnanaha Prapadyantenya devataha Tam niyamamasthaya Prakritya niyata swaya Kamais tais tair hrita jnanaha
prapadyantenya devatah.
Prapadyantenya devatah.
Tam tam niyamamasthaya.
Tam tam niyamamasthaya.
Prakritya niyatasvaya.
Prakritya niyatasvaya.
Kamaistaistair hritajnanah.
Kamaistaistair hritajnanah.
Prapadyantenya devatah.
Prapadyantenya devatah.
Prapadyantenya devatah.
Prapadyantenya devatah.
Tam tam niyamamasthaya.
Tam tam niyamamasthaya.
Prakritya niyatasvaya.
Prakritya niyatasvaya.
So here, svaya prakritya niyataha. Svaya prakritya niyataha. Sviya prakriti means one's own nature. One's own nature. Or one's own mental disposition. One's own in keeping with one's own samskara, one's own interest, one's own inclinations, which one have picked up from the previous lives also. Some person's interest only in music. Or one person is given to the certain interest in dance. They go, another person not at all interested in dance. Nothing wrong. How come the one person picks up interest? It's all sviya prakritihi. Sviya prakriti means people pick up things, you know, in keeping with their own disposition. In keeping with their own disposition, which they have developed from the previous samskaras also. Therefore, sviya prakritihi. So, sviya, that's it, svaya prakritya niyataha. Sviya prakriti means one's own prakriti, one's own disposition. And the svaya prakritya means by one's own prakriti, one's own nature, one's own disposition. Niyataha. Niyataha means they do not have any, say, their behavior, their inclinations and interests are completely governed by their own disposition. Why you want to do mathematics? Why you want to study mathematics? Why you want to do play this? No? Who determines this? Why you choose this? You may think it is svaya prakritya niyataha. So in keeping with one's own disposition and being forced by one's own disposition, then people, what do they do? Taihi taihi kamaihi hritajnanaha. They entertain the desires. And then these desires, when the desires rise in their mind, and these desires what? Rob their knowledge, viveka. Which means the desires do not let them think what is permanent, what is impermanent, etc. The desires do not allow them to think. The desires just impel them to do the actions, just to get them, this is fulfilled. So, taihi taihi, kamaihi, hritajnanaha. So, being completely robbed away, snatched away by their own desires. Without being allowed to pay any attention to the knowledge they have. What they do? Anya devataha prapadyante. Means they worship other deities. What does it mean? Worshipping other deities means everything is Bhagavan. How can there be other deity? What does it mean? We understand all that is there, only Bhagavan, everything is Bhagavan means, how can you worship other deities? Are there many Bhagavans or what? No. All that is there is only Bhagavan, but that vision is possible only for the person who knows the truth of everything is one. Other devataha, deities, devataha means, there are natural phenomena, and every phenomenon is actually is said to be devata, because everything here is manifestation of knowledge, illumination of consciousness. And in the shastram we can invoke the grace of Bhagavan in the form of any given devata. Any devata can become an altar for Bhagavan the whole. That is allowed, that is prescribed actually. Any given phenomenon is looked upon as a devata. Why phenomenon? Now Suryaha, sun, or nakshatram, or vayu, or vanam, anything. Any given phenomenon can be looked upon as what? Devata, because it's definitely illumination of knowledge. You will look at it as what? Devata. That is the Vedic culture, is look at everything, the devata. And that any one devata can become an altar for Bhagavan the whole. In order to relate to Bhagavan the whole, we have these devatas as altar for Bhagavan. So the specific prayers and worship karmas are prescribed in the Karma Kanda. We can perform rituals, invoke the grace of Bhagavan in the form of a given devata for accomplishment of certain given, fulfilling certain desire. Nothing wrong. That's how the whole Karma Kanda, we have so many rituals prescribed, and performing which we can invoke the grace of given devata and for accomplishing a given end. Kamya karmas are there. So here also, Taihi kamaihi, when the certain diseases they have, and those diseases come, those diseases really do not even allow the person to think, and then they impel a person to perform the action, the corresponding action, to fulfill that particular desire. Suppose a desire to eat comes, easy desire, okay, as I'm telling. Desire to eat rises, and desire to eat idiyappam comes. No, they won't go and tell Radhaniji, please get me. I know he can't get it. I can ask him to bake a bread, that. But idiyappam comes, I had only to Sri Lankan Tamil. Okay, who is the devata to be invoked here? For given desire rises, and taihi kamaihi. The desire is so powerful. I want to eat this. Then tell, who is the upper person to tell? Isn't it? Then that person alone comes to my mind, not other people. Who can get me this? Similarly, for this end I want, for this end you want, I invoke this devata. Veda tells us. Then I forget about everything else. This is my desire. I want to get this desire fulfilled. So I have to invoke the grace of this deity, devata. Then I invoke the grace of that devata. I worship that particular devata. Why? To fulfill my particular desire, but to accomplish a particular end, given end. And whatever the rules and regulations are to be followed, which ritual has to be performed, which mantra should be recited, how many times mantra should be recited, what all the oblations I have to offer, and how many priests should be there, which priest should be there, how much dakshina I give, I understand all the rules and regulations which go with that particular ritual, I understand, and I somehow try to get that particular priest, I see that I puja, I perform. Some people, She is Upta whom I want to perform. There's a yaga called Vayavya Yagaha. I'm just giving the example. Vayavya Yagaha is very difficult to perform. You need to spend a lot of money, feed a lot of people. And it says, just as Vayu wind blows, money will come to you. If money has to flow towards like the wind blows, then perform Vayavya Yagaha. Know the end. What is the result I get? Money is my goal, okay? Then I want to perform Vayavya Yaga. A particular ritual. And how it should be performed? What are the mantras should be recited? How many priests should be there? How many avartis should be there? Everything. I don't want to make any mistake there. You know why? If even a small mistake happens, it won't be effective. So with all shraddha I do. That is why sometimes the puja time, my mamis make a lot of very difficult sometimes. They maintain muddy, very difficult. But they don't want to lose the palam. But you perform the puja, and we want the puja to be effective. So they want to make everything very clean, and you know, in my grandparents, not that they used to tell not to touch and all those things. Because whatever we have to follow strictly, the rules and regulations. Now, water is, it has to be followed strictly, which goes with the performance at a particular ritual. Here also, these people also. So all that, all those rules which, you know, they have to follow. Strictly they follow. So tam niyamam asthaya. Correctly, exactly, perfectly following all those things which have to be followed, strictly following all of them. Devataha. And then they invoke the grace of the particular given devata for accomplishing the given end. Why? Not being driven by their own desire, a given desire which is arisen in my mind. So I think not only one. So how many desires are there? In keeping with the desires, following those, for fulfilling those desires, isn't it? Performing the, doing the needful, and they invoke the grace of the corresponding devatas. What is the goal? Bhagavan is not the goal. Jnanam is not the goal. Moksha is not the goal. Something within which falls within the realm of Arthakama is the end. It can be progeny, it can be cattle wealth, it can be money, it can be good health, it can be good friendship. It can be for manpower, can be for money power, it can be victory in political elections, it can may be for anything. A given end is there, and they have the desire to fulfill that result, end, attain the end. And I want, this is my end, this is what I have to achieve, I want to get my this desire fulfilled. I need the grace of Bhagavan, I had to perform this particular ritual, I invoke the grace of this deity, and this is what I had, let me follow all that. They will really make all possible efforts to do everything correctly as instructed in this scripture also. Tam nemam asthaya, strictly following all those, you know, what is to be followed. And here, nemam asthaya, anya devataha, taihi kamehi hrita jnanaha, swaya prakritya nayataha, tam nemam asthaya, anya devataha prapadyante. They worship other deities means they invoke the devatas for specific ends, performing specific rituals, following the specific rules and regulations. It is not wrong. Why do they do that? As long as Purusharta Nischeha is not there, it is possible for people to do all those things. If Purusharta Nischeha comes, you will do Navagriha Pradakshinam, all that to tackle. When you're simple, nothing wrong. very important. When you are really, the parabdha is very bad. You are going through bad parabdha time. You know, what else can you do? You are mad, you know. Better to avoid insanity, our temples have 9 planets, personifications. Go to Navagraha Pradhur, go to temple, to Navagraha Prashas. Only way you can manage and handle, so you don't become insane. I tell you, for maintaining emotional health, the Hindu Dharma gives all the infrastructure we have. I will go mad otherwise, I tell you. Really. We manage, you know, going to doing all those things. But suppose you have Purushartha Nischaya, nothing wrong, it's all good. If you have Purushartha Nischaya, what will happen? Naal and Seyyum, Kol and Seyyum. Isn't it? What will all these planets do to me? Anyway, as for me, all my problems will resolve for good only in Jnanam. This is ordained by Parabdha. I am going through all these things. Temporarily I had to go through. Isn't it? Really speaking, the body has to go through all these things. Mind has to go through all these things. And my problems will resolve only in my perspective change for only Jnanam. Knowledge is the ultimate, absolute, only solution, remedy for this, to put an end to all my misery for good. That becomes very clear. Then you do what now? Purushartha Nischaya, you will be given to the discipline of living a life of karma yoga to prepare your mind with the Purushartha Nischaya for Jnanam. You will be given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga in terms of Shravanam. Your Shravanam is over, you will be involved in Mananam, that's also over, and you will be given to the contemplation. Otherwise, what will happen then? You will be focused on Jnanam. If Purushartha Nischaya is not there, as a simple people we're living, and still we have to grow, then what do people do? Taihi taihi kamaihi hrita jnanaha. Being rubbed away by their own different diseases they picked up, and completely governed by their own previous disposition they have, in keeping in the past lives also. And they invoke the corresponding deities for the fulfillment of that disease, and exactly to the best of the ability following all that has been stipulated, isn't it? They do. Why? Which means they still, these people do not have Purushartha Nischaya. This is what the Artharthis or Artha Bhaktas, they do. This is how they do. But Jignyasu Bhaktaha will be given to the study of the Shastram. Anyway, so nobody is here undermined or underestimated, okay? Udaraha Sarveya Bhaktaha. Don't forget that. Only thing, we don't look, Shastram does not look upon anybody. If you are mature, you are discriminate, you pursue knowledge. If you are not mature, still you are getting mature. We'll come to this one day.
Yo yo yam yam tanam bhaktah. Yo yam yam tanam bhaktah. Shraddhayarchitumichyati. Tasya tasya chalam shaddham. Tasya chalam shaddham. Tameva vidadhamyaham.
Tameva vidadhamyaham.
Yo yo yam yam tanam bhaktah.
Yo yo yam yam tanam bhaktah.
Shraddhayarchitumichyati.
Shraddhayarchitumichyati.
Tasya tasya chalam shaddham.
Tasya tasya chalam shaddham.
Tasya tasya
chalam shaddham.
Tameva vidadhamyaham.
Tameva vidadhamyaham.
So very subtle factors also revealed here. See, Bhagavan is there. Bhagavan is essentially pure knowledge, means Bhagavan is there in the form of the universal natural moral law and order. Bhagavan is there as the natural laws which determine the fruits of actions. So karma phala data. Who is the giver of fruits of actions? We are performers of actions. And do we think that we ourselves create the results of actions? No. The results of actions are determined by the natural laws. Means the laws, all the laws are within the realm of one universal natural moral law and order. That order also is not outside of the knowledge. See, everything is within the realm of knowledge, means order is also not outside of the knowledge. Isn't it? Therefore, anything which is within the realm of knowledge is what? Bhagavan. Everything is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is not the order, but the order is Bhagavan. Why? Order is backed by knowledge. Bhagavan is essentially knowledge. The knowledge manifest is Bhagavan. Isn't it? Then order also is what? Bhagavan only. Therefore, whichever deity is invoked, whichever ritual is performed, whichever puja is done, whoever is worshipping, doesn't matter. Definitely, that karma should have its own phalam. So, saddhaya architum yaha yaha yam yam tanum yaha yaha bhaktaha yam yam tanum saddhaya architum icchati. So, whichever devotee worships whichever form with the great shraddha, with the total faith in it, that I am going to get this result by worshipping this Bhagavan in this form. Amazing, isn't it? See, this is a very great culture. See this. We never say don't worship that word. Whichever form you worship, yaha yaha, whoever worships. No, shraddhaya architum icchati. Whoever wants to worship, yaha yaha architum icchati, whoever wants to worship. Yam yam tanum, whichever form, whoever wants to worship, whichever form, in whichever, you know, form one wants to worship, but with faith, shraddhaya architum icchati, unflinching faith. And definitely, that shraddha, with shraddha when you want to worship, with the faith when you want to worship a given form, whoever worships, and that shraddha daily becomes strengthened. Once you have little shraddha, it will become greater shraddha, more shraddha. Your little faith will become great, stronger faith. Even if you have the faith is weaker faith, becomes stronger faith. Some shraddha you have, it becomes firm, isn't it? Greater shraddha, which means tasya tasya shraddham achalam ahameva vidadhami. Bhagavan says, Bhagavan being the very order, that shraddha one has in a given deity, and he wants to worship that form, and Bhagavan in the form of order, no, strengthens that shraddha. How? By blessing them with the result they want. Once you worship something, because worship is what, in worship there's a prayer, and in prayer is an auto-suggestion, and you do it with the shraddha. I want this, I want this, I want this. Have the shraddha and you do it. What happens? Karma cannot go fail. And definitely you get some phalam. When the phalam comes, and you have more faith in it. Always enjoy the benefit of something you do and you have more faith in it. Why? I did it, I got it, again shraddha increases. And who is that one who ordains the fruit for that work karma you do? Bhagavan in the form of order. Once you have the order, and how come that shraddha becomes strengthened? Because of the order. which ordained the fruit for you. Isn't it? What Bhagavan says here, Aham Vidadhami. Aham Vidadhami. What do I do? Aham Vidadhami. Aham, I make it possible. Aham Vidadhami. I make it happen. What is that? Tam Shraddham Achalam Vidadhami. I see the Shraddha the person has becomes strengthened. I make the Shraddha firm. Which means Bhagavan in the form of order contributes for the making the Shraddha firm. Bhagavan in the form of order, isn't it? Contribute for the Shraddha stronger. Firm. See, this is something very different. It may look very ordinary, but actually, you have to understand. It should apply anywhere. Any action you do. But if Shraddha is there, with the faith, when you want to do something, faithfully when you want to do something, and it is you are driven by your own desire, isn't it? You do it. I need to get it. And if with the Shraddha when you do it, and definitely you get the phalam. The more Shraddha you have, the more focused you are, you get the result. And who orders the result? Bhagavan in the form of order. Once you get the enjoy the result, and you get reward, your Shraddha becomes much more firm. And who is the ordainer of that Shraddha? Firmness in Shraddha? Bhagavan. So Bhagavan in the form of law and order is the one, the ordainer of this firmness of Shraddha. In whatever you are doing. Isn't it? Therefore, tasya tasya achalam shraddham, tam achalam shraddham, aham eva vidadhami. I alone, Arjuna, ordain that firmness of Shraddha. In that the person is doing. Whoever worships whichever deity in whichever form with Shraddha, I ordain that firmness of Shraddha in that whatever person is doing. Is it clear? Clear or not? Anyway, if you're not clear also, I had to finish the class. It's very, very, you see the beautiful thing here. See, this sort of a freedom, that is why in our culture, say, tremendous amount of freedom. You can worship, that's why Hinduism is a mosaic of things. There's no restriction or whatsoever. There's no rules and regulations. Only this is the form, only form you should worship. No. That is why anybody can come. All these new cults also coming up, very popular. They want, whatever they want, nobody can question. Because the Shastam allows such things. Even though it is non-traditional. Somewhere, they all can be validated. Everything, even the most non-traditional stuff. People do simply whatever they want to do. Masalas. Still everything can be validated in the light of clear teaching. So, but we don't need to get into all those non-traditional stuff. But I'm saying, even those non-traditional things also can be validated in the light of the teaching. Why? Yo-yo bhakti, you know? Yo-yo yam-yam tanum bhaktaha shraddhayarchitam icchati tasya tasya achalam shraddham tasya tasya achalam shraddham ahameva vidadhami. Not anybody else. There's no second God comes and gives anything. The only Bhagavan, up to now pure knowledge, who is the mouth of the whole jagat, who is there as the Swarupam of everything, as your own Swarupam, is there as you, alone is there as the order, ordaining the law of the karma phalam, thereby makes the Shraddha firm. Okay. Om. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate
Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.